So brothers and sisters, as we said, Brother Kun will be giving a talk on how love and faith conquer the world.
So friends, what comes to mind when you hear the following names? Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Napoleon. Well, maybe when you hear those names, you picture a mighty warrior, right? A conqueror. But what comes to mind when you hear the name Jesus Christ? Now in art, he's often portrayed as a helpless child. Or maybe as a slender man who's suffering a cruel execution. But when Jesus was on earth, he made an interesting statement. Let's see if this might actually change the way that you picture him. Let's take a look, take note of what Jesus said at John chapter 16 and verse 33. That's John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16:33, so this is Jesus speaking. He said, I have said these things to you so that by means of me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. And notice, I have conquered the world. What a bold and powerful statement Jesus made. I have conquered the world. So Jesus, he wasn't a helpless person. He wasn't a weak person. He was a world conqueror. Well, you might think, well, Jesus, when he was on earth, he didn't rule any countries, right? He didn't take part in any political campaigns. So what did he mean by this statement? Well, in the Bible, the world often refers to human society apart from God's servants, under the control or under the influence of the God of this world, Satan the devil. So really, Jesus' words here, they weren't political. He's really just saying that the devil and this world have no power over him. He was able to overcome their influence in the same way that a person would conquer a bad habit. So for example, when Jesus was on earth, he resisted Satan's temptations to pursue selfish goals. So he wasn't seeking wealth for himself, fame, power. Jesus also didn't allow the political and the religious groups in the world to interfere with his worship. But rather, Jesus' unshakable faith and his deep love for Jehovah enabled him to maintain his integrity and enabled him to finish the work that Jehovah, his father, gave him to do. And it was in this sense that Jesus conquered the world. Now, if you look back at this verse, before that bold statement, we see two words actually that have great meaning for us. Jesus told his followers to take courage. You know, what was he saying with those words? Well, he was telling his followers, I want you to follow in my footsteps. I want you to conquer the world just as I did. And for us, that might sound like a daunting task, right? And is that something that you think you can accomplish to not allow this world to interfere with your worship? Well, hopefully our discussion today will help you to be firm in your resolve to do so. And we're going to consider three questions that will help with this. Number one, how did Jesus prepare his disciples for world conquest? Number two, how have Jesus' modern day followers conquered the world? So what examples do we have around us? And number three, why are love and faith, those qualities that are in the theme of this talk, why are love and faith so important? So let's start with that first question. How did Jesus prepare his disciples to conquer the world? Well, one way is through this warning that he gives us at John chapter 15 and verses 19 and 20. Not just us, but really all of his followers. So please turn with me to John chapter 15. And we'll read verses 19 and 20. Again, how is Jesus preparing his followers with these words? John 15, 19 and 20. So again, Jesus speaking, he says, if you were part of the world, speaking about his followers, the world would be fond of what is its own. Now, because you are no part of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, for this reason, the world hates you. Keep in mind the word I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have observed my word, they will also observe yours. So what was Jesus telling his followers here? Well, verse 19, the last bit of that verse, he's warning them, the world hates you. Verse 20, they'll persecute you. Jesus, he's really trying to help his followers to prepare mentally. He's warning them that they're going to face persecution. And why is that? Well, in verse 20, he makes it clear. He says, because they're no part of the world. They're not part of that unrighteous human society ruled by Satan. And so they're going to stand out as different. But Jesus' words in verse 20 give his followers reassurance. He tells them, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now, why is that reassuring? Well, to illustrate, imagine your friend gives you directions. He tells you the road is going to get bumpy towards the end. You know, you might think that you've taken a wrong turn, but you haven't. Just keep on going and you're almost there. Well, that's what Jesus is saying here, right? He's telling us, you know, if you're my followers, my disciples, if you are persecuted for your faith, you're on the right path. So how reassuring that would be. So he prepares them mentally. How else does Jesus prepare his disciples? Well, he identifies Satan as the chief enemy of God, and then he teaches his followers what to do to defend themselves against him. Notice what Jesus says at Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 9 and 13. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 13. So Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus speaking again, he says, you must pray then this way, and we'll jump to verse 13. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the wicked one. So what is Jesus trying to convey to his followers here? Well, he's telling them that they need to ask for God. They need to pray for God to deliver or rescue them from the wicked one. He's highlighting this essential truth, this truth that prayer is essential. It's essential to overcoming Satan, essential to overcoming this world's influence. And his followers need to have faith in Jehovah. They shouldn't try to do this on their own. You know, you can think of it this way. Trying to fend off Satan by yourself would be like trying to carry a large, heavy piece of furniture without any help. You know, don't do it on your own. Jehovah, he's ready to help us. We should ask for his help. We need his help. And how do we get his help? Well, Jesus taught through prayer. So Jesus, he prepares his disciples mentally. He stresses the importance of prayer, you know, faith in Jehovah. He also highlights the importance of two other things. Let's find out what those two things are in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 to 39. So how else did Jesus prepare his disciples to conquer the world? Matthew 22, 37 to 39. It says here, so this is Jesus speaking again, you must love Jehovah, your God, with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second, like it, is this, you must love your neighbor as yourself. So what two things do we see Jesus emphasize here? Love Jehovah. Love your neighbor. And really, Jesus emphasized this all throughout his life, not just by what he said, but by what he did. For example, Jesus demonstrated loving compassion when dealing with others. And we see one example of this in this image here. You know, this is illustrating one of the accounts in the Gospels in the Bible. When a man with leprosy approaches Jesus, what does he do? Well, the Bible says he stretched out his hand and touched him. telling this man that he wanted to heal him. But much to the surprise of the people around Jesus. You know, in this picture, you can see those surprised faces of the people around him. Why are they so taken aback by what Jesus is doing? Well, at that time, people looked down on those with leprosy. In fact, they didn't even want to get close to them. But that wasn't Jesus, right? He conquered that common attitude, that common thinking, because he loved others. He loved God. Another way that Jesus highlighted the importance of loving Jehovah, loving others, he helped people to get to know Jehovah better. He strengthened their love and their faith in God. And as he did that, he enabled those individuals to conquer the world. So just in review, in that first question, how did Jesus prepare his disciples? Well, he emphasized love and faith. Love of God, love of neighbor. Faith or reliance on Jehovah, especially through prayer. And so by adhering closely to Jesus' example, his followers could be victorious. Well, the second question we want to consider, how have Jesus' modern-day disciples conquered the world? We'll touch on four areas in which modern-day followers of Christ have conquered or overcome or gained victory over the world and its ways. Now, the first area is by maintaining Christian neutrality. So again, earlier we talked about how Christ's followers are no part of the world. Well, that means that they also remain neutral when it comes to political affairs. And they'll do so despite persecution. Take, for example, Brother Adam Zinger. I'll share with you his life, his experience. So during the Second World War, Adam was drafted for military service. He reports, "I stated that I could not serve in the military because of what I had learned from the Bible. I explained my neutral stand." Well, Adam was sentenced to 11 years in prison. He continued to experience discrimination until the mid-1970s. Now, throughout this time, he was sentenced to 23 years of detention by six courts, being held in at least 10 prisons and camps. He endured serial persecution under three regimes, fascists in pre-war Hungary, German National Socialists in Serbia, and communists in Cold War Hungary. Adam still lives in his hometown, serving God loyally. So beautiful example, right? Someone who conquered the world. The devil couldn't stop him from serving Jehovah, but his love and his faith in God enabled him to overcome this challenge. Another way that modern day followers of Christ have conquered the world is by overcoming opposition from family, from neighbors, workmates, schoolmates, even apostates. So regardless of where opposition comes from, Christ's followers today haven't given up serving God or adhering to his moral standards. I'll share with you another experience, the experience of a wife named Agnes, who learned Bible truths and was determined to attend Christian meetings. "Agnes, if you go out that door, don't come back in," her husband shouted. Well, she did not go out that door, but rather another one. The next meeting night, he threatened, "I won't be here when you come back." Well, he was not. He was gone for 3 days. When he returned, she kindly asked, "Would you like something to eat?" Agnes never budged in her devotion to Jehovah. So another beautiful example of a sister who was able to conquer the world. And we know that many of you in the audience perhaps have faced similar circumstances, having to deal with opposition. But we know that your love and your faith in God has enabled you to overcome even intense persecution. A third area, modern day followers of Christ have successfully fought against the disobedient and prideful spirit of the world. So Christ's followers today have really fought hard to remain humble amidst a prideful world. For example, we talked about Adam earlier, the brother who was treated unjustly for decades. Well, what was his attitude throughout all of this? Well, Adam commented this way. He said, "I kept in mind Romans chapter 12, which states, 'Do not avenge yourselves, so I never bore a grudge. Several times I had the chance to get back at those who persecuted me, but I never did. We should not use the strength that Jehovah gives us to pay back evil for evil. So what a beautiful example Adam was, you know, not just in what he did, but even in his attitude, you know, conquering this prideful, disobedient spirit that is so common in the world today. Fourth area, Christ's modern day followers have gained victory over the world by avoiding selfish and valueless pursuits. So this world often encourages people to pursue what? A prestigious career, maybe to amass wealth, maybe to gain a name for yourself. Well, in contrast, Christ's followers have given up opportunities for success in this world to pursue spiritual goals. I'll share with you another experience. This is the experience of a man named Sung Jin, who grew up in Korea. He said, I studied medicine because I wanted to use my life to help people. I also felt that the prestige and the financial rewards of being a doctor would make me happy. As I came to realize how little a doctor can really do to help, I became disillusioned. I then pursued art, but my artistic creations did little good for others, and I felt selfish. I turned to teaching and soon found that I could only pass on facts, but not guidance that could lead to real happiness. Obviously, he had good intentions, but he realized that these pursuits or goals were not leading to lasting benefits. And so he eventually refocused his priorities towards spiritual pursuits. And he had this to say. He said, instead of devoting all my energies to medicine, art, or secular teaching, I resolved to use my life in line with my dedication to God. I am now serving where there is a great need for Bible teachers, helping people to get on the path to everlasting life. I see that making Jehovah's purpose our purpose is the only meaningful way of life. So like Sung Jin, Christ's followers today focus on goals that bring lasting benefits to others. So, you know, what's our takeaway from all of this? You know, it's not to remember these different ways that Christ's modern day followers have conquered the world. It's just to highlight that Jesus' disciples today are world conquerors. You know, we see evidence of that around the world. We see evidence of that in our congregation too. And so as we focus our attention on their success, you know, focus our attention on our leader, Jesus Christ, and his success, well, this strengthens our resolve to endure. Let's move on to that third question. Why are love and faith so important to our conquest? You know, we've highlighted those two qualities so often in this talk. Well, first off, please notice the contrast that's brought out in John chapter 5 and verse 19. So we're going to connect this to love and faith. Just bear with us for a moment. John chapter 5, the first John, sorry, chapter 5 and verse 19. Now think about why love and faith are so important to our conquest. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. So it says here, we know that we originate with God, but the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. So what's emphasized here, or what's brought out here, is that the world is lying in the power of the wicked one, in Satan's control. And really, we see evidence of that in the world, right? We see how it's filled with things that reflect Satan's spirit. Things such as hatred, violence, immorality. It's reflected in things even such as people's style of dress, right? Now, people who lack love and lack faith in God, they're helpless to its influence, the influence of this world. In the same way, you might picture it as though, you know, a person living in a polluted environment, they might get used to the polluted air, but it doesn't mean that it's any less harmful. You know, this pollution is pervasive. It doesn't matter if you've gotten used to it, it's still going to damage you. And in the same way, this world can affect us that way. But notice this verse says that we originate with God, or some translations render this as we belong with God. Now, we're not born into this relationship where we belong with God. It's actually a choice we all have to make. And why do we make that choice? but because of love and faith. Because we love Jehovah and we have faith in him. It's that same love and that same faith that enables us to resist this world's influence. Notice how that's brought out in verses 3 and 4. It's the same chapter, so 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. So it says here, "For this is what the love of God means, that we observe his commandments, and yet his commandments are not burdensome. Because everyone who has been born from God conquers the world. And this is the conquest that has conquered the world, our faith." So we see here again highlighted those two qualities, love and faith. Why is love so important? Well, you look back at verse 3. What's the effect that love can actually have on us? His commandments are not burdensome. Love actually changes how we view God's requirements. To illustrate, if you take a look at this picture, if I asked you to carry this 10 kilogram or this 22 pound bag of potatoes with you, how would you feel? Maybe you'd find it to be burdensome, right? But take a look at the next image. Do you think that mom feels the same way about her kid? You know, it's interesting because in some countries, you know, especially in Asia and in talking with some individuals, in Africa too, I think, you know, oftentimes mothers, they'll wear a pouch and they'll carry their kid sometimes for hours. Is that child a burden to them? Is that how they view their kid? No, of course not, right? Why? It's the power of love, right? You know, moms love their children, but we just don't love potatoes that much, right? Maybe you like them, but not that much, right? And so in a similar sense, love, it changes how we view God's requirements. You know, it doesn't make it so that they seem unreasonable, inconvenient. It's not a restriction of our freedom. Love actually makes it so that obeying Jehovah is delightful. It's as this verse says, not burdensome. And so do you see how this love will enable us to resist the devil's temptations? How it helps us to maintain our integrity to God. So love is key. What about faith? Well, you notice in verse 4, it says, "This is the conquest that has conquered the world, our faith." So faith in Jehovah, faith in his promises, that's also key to conquering the world. And why? Well, because faith conquers fear of men. For example, if you take a look at the following image, maybe we might find ourselves in similar situations. We get pressure from perhaps classmates, maybe from in the center, you see maybe the authorities, pressure from others to compromise our Christian standards. Or maybe we get pressure to stop or discontinue some form of our worship. And on the right side, maybe pressure to stop our preaching work. Well, how does faith help us? And help us to conquer this fear of man, because we see Jehovah as if the Almighty God is right beside us. We are confident that he sees what we're going through. And not just that, he empathizes with us. He knows how we're feeling, and we have the confidence that he's going to help us. He'll help us to keep serving him faithfully. So yes, this world, it won't overpower us. It won't conquer us because of those two qualities. Because of our deep love for Jehovah and our unshakable faith in him. So with that in mind, do you see the need to strengthen those qualities? To build up our love for Jehovah? To deepen our faith in him? Well, how can we do that? To start, keep learning about him through your study of the Bible. Also, keep learning about him through meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses like today. And of course, it's going to take time, it's going to take effort to do so, but it's worth the effort. And why is that? Well, as world conquerors, obedient to God, we actually enjoy a better life now. For example, we obey the Bible's command at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, which tells us to cleanse ourselves of every defilement of flesh and spirit. So obedience to this command, it frees us from harmful habits. Habits that maybe some people find inescapable, addiction to tobacco, drugs, pornography, so on. Another benefit, we listen to the Bible's admonition to attend meetings. Think about the benefits that come from attending meetings. We strengthen and build each other up. We help each other when we're going through a tough time. And this is especially important during these difficult times that we live in. Another benefit, we follow Jesus' instructions to preach, teach, and make disciples. So despite living in a self-centered world, this keeps us focused on a work that is centered around giving. And what results from all that giving? True happiness and true satisfaction. Now, these benefits or these blessings are not just limited to the present. Because after Jesus conquered the world, he was given the authority to eliminate all of God's enemies, to conquer the rest of God's enemies. And he'll soon complete that conquest, bringing about greater blessings for all mankind. Now, for a small group of anointed Christians, this means inheriting the heavenly kingdom, being able to serve in heaven, serve alongside Christ as kings. But for the majority of us, Christ completing this conquest means something else for us. What does it mean? We'll take a look at the final image. It means that we get to enjoy life as Jehovah had originally purposed for us. Can you picture yourself in that scene? Living forever in a paradise earth, free from Satan's influence, free from this wicked world's influence. You know, this is a world, this is a life with no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death, no more war, no more crime, no more injustice, no more poverty. You know, all these things will be done away with. They'll be in the past. Well, friends, if you conquer the world, this is your reward. So brothers, sisters, friends, may you follow in the footsteps of our leader, Jesus Christ, and follow the example of many other modern day followers of Christ who have conquered the world. Don't allow Satan and this wicked world to interfere with your worship. Don't allow them to negatively influence or affect your thinking. Keep working at deepening your love for Jehovah, at building up and strengthening your faith in him, because it's our love and our faith in God that will enable us to conquer the world. And as we await the eternal blessings that lie ahead for us, may you also continue to fearlessly preach God's kingdom. Help more individuals to benefit in the same way that we have. Yes, friends, be assured that you can succeed. With Jehovah's help, your love and your faith will conquer the world.
Thank you very much, Brother Kuhn, for helping us to know that we can conquer the world that we live in, through love and faith. We thank you for the many points and that